mighty God, we worship you. Hallelujah, we magnify you, O God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, I feel that there is something percolating in the atmosphere today. Amen. I believe that the Spirit of God is wanting to do some very significant things in our lives. In this place, amen, on this day, amen, during this service. Amen. I believe that there's some things stirred up. And I wonder if the people of God of the sanctuary would agree with me. Amen. That God is going to move. That he's going to do some things in our lives. That he's going to deliver and he's going to heal and he's going to mend. Hallelujah. If you agree with me right now, why don't you lift your hands all across this place? Amen. And shout, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we magnify you. Oh, God, have your way. Somebody ought to shout in this place this morning with the voice of triumph. Amen. There ought to be a victory in your step today because God is going to do it. God is moving. He's fighting this battle for us. He's pushing back the darkness. He's satayan la 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 masia. Oh, hallelujah. 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 If you believe it, amen. If you believe it today, amen. Lift your hands and shout unto God. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Satoya sana la 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 basia. Andoro soto ya la 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 basia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we entertain that presence just for a few minutes this morning? So we're not in a hurry. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God, have your way. God, that you would do what you want to do, that your will would be accomplished in this place. God, that we would open up our minds and our hearts to you, oh God, to your word, to your spirit. Oh God, we need you today. We need a touch from you today. Jesus, 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 thou Son of David. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hatoria naria sandoroso. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. God is so good. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I feel that there are circumstances in this place today that seem impossible. But I'm here to declare to you that nothing is impossible with God. Amen. That when God shows up and you allow God into your situation, amen, it's impossible for nothing to happen. Amen. Because nothing is impossible with God. Amen. So I tell you today, if you will allow God in, amen, it will be an impossibility for nothing to happen. That's our God. Amen. He's proven. He's been around since before there was time. Amen. He's proven. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Amen. This church is full of testimonies. Amen. Where God has proven himself faithful. Amen. Amen. Is this church full of people? Amen. Where God has shown himself faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel strongly in the Holy Ghost, and I'm not trying to hype you up, but I just feel very strongly that if you will allow God in today, he will change it all around for you. He will do it. Amen. God is so good. It's good to have all of our guests and visitors here today. Amen. I'm glad you've joined us at the sanctuary. Amen. I do not believe that you are here by accident. You didn't just happen to come into this place this morning. And I don't care who invited you. It wasn't an accident. Amen. But there is this thing in the kingdom that I believe in very strongly. It's called divine alignment. Amen. And God has a way of aligning things and arranging things for your life. Amen. And you are here today because God has something for you. Amen. So today I ask you to receive it. Receive what God has for you. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Thank you for praising God. Thank you for responding to God with worship this morning. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Very familiar portion of scripture. It says, for the kingdom of God, everybody say kingdom of God, is not meat and drink, amen, but it is righteousness, everybody say righteousness, and peace, everybody say peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I would like to preach on a very simple concept in scripture, but I'm going to title it, The Partner of Peace. The Partner of Peace. Amen. If you will get behind the preacher today, and let the Holy Ghost speak to you, you can be seated in Jesus' name. Sit down, but don't sit down on the Lord, if you will. I do believe that one of the greatest desires of any human being is the desire and the longing for peace. Amen. As a matter of fact, we just sang several songs about victory. Amen. Why do we love victory so much? Because what follows victory is peace. Amen. I believe that every single one of us, amen, have been on a lifelong search for this thing called peace. We desire, amen, it's in us to desire and long to be free from chaos. Everybody said amen. We don't want to be free. We want to be free, amen, from anxiety and depression and worry and confusion. I don't think any of us seek these things. Amen. We don't want sleepless nights. We don't want disarray in our families. We don't want disorder in our homes. I don't think anybody sets out seeking after those things. Amen. We don't wake up in the morning wanting confusion. And we don't want mass chaos, but we are seeking peace. So God has put this desire in this longing in us. He is the creator after all, and he has created us to function a certain way, that we would function at the very best when we have the peace of God inside of us. So we read about peace all through scripture. Galatians 5 and 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Which is love, joy, peace. Amen. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and so on. But we look at these key words in this verse, and of course, we kind of use the three words together all the time, love, joy, and peace. And I just for fun, I did a quick word search of how many times these particular words are mentioned in Scripture. Love, amen, which is the key thing. Amen, which is the main motivator behind everything that we do and behind what God does. amen, is mentioned 310 times in Scripture. Joy, amen, we all want joy. It's mentioned 165 times in Scripture. Faith, amen, we talk about faith all the time. It's the foundation, amen, of our walk with God. 247 times. But peace is mentioned 429 times. It's mentioned in Scripture more than all these other things. I'm not saying it's more important, but it is a very important thing that the Bible talks about, peace. 1 Corinthians 4 and 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." Can I tell you today, if you have unanswered confusion, amen, that consumes your heart and your mind, God is not the author of that. Amen. That is the enemy. The enemy sows discord. The enemy sows doubt. The enemy sows confusion into our hearts and our minds. But God, the Bible says, is the very author of peace. Amen. I believe that today he desires to write a story of peace in every man, woman, child in this place. He's not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. Romans 3 and 10, Paul says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." He's talking about the ways of the world. He's talking about us before God. He says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." Amen. Do you remember how some of you guys used to talk? This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known." Amen. I remember living a life in this world, amen, with no peace. Amen. But then one day, Jesus stepped in. Amen. The Bible calls him the God of peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible talks about the gospel of peace in Ephesians chapter 6. This very gospel that we believe in, amen, brings peace to our lives. John 14 and 26, Jesus was talking to the disciples, says, "But the Comforter, amen, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," he said, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He says, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Amen. I desire, amen, this peace that we can get from God. Amen. Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God, amen, which passeth all understanding. And this peace shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The truth of it is life is life. Circumstances arise. Problems happen in the family. Problems happen at work. Amen. In your relationships, we have these uneasy feelings and anger arises and worry and stress begin to surface. I don't know about you, but I've had a few of those days in my life. Amen. I have those times where I'm uneasy about what's going on around me, and maybe with my family, maybe with my children, maybe something that happened at work, and there's a stress level that comes to me, and I have a pit in my stomach, and I don't like it. Amen. But the previous verse in Philippians 4 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Amen. When those moments happen, and they will, amen, the best thing to do, amen, is go to him in prayer. Amen. Talk to him about these circumstances. Make your request known unto him. Amen. And there's something that comes over you. It's called the peace of God. And it's, you can't explain it. Amen. Because the circumstances don't go away. But how you feel and how you think about the circumstances changes. And you can't comprehend it. Because we want the circumstances to go away, to be fixed, to be made right, the debts to be paid, the boss to fall off the bridge. Right? But when you begin to pray, something comes over you. It's the peace of God. And it's beyond our comprehension. And something in you tells you it's going to be okay. There's nothing like living in the kingdom, folks. Amen. Just the other day at work, amen, there was a decision that needed to be made, a big decision, an expensive decision. Amen. We negotiated, yada, yada. It didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. I was like, you want to know what? God's in control of all this. Amen. We saw it, you know, we tried to be wise about it, good stewards of money, all this sort of thing, and it didn't happen how we thought it should. But I was like, God's in charge. I go to bed tonight sleeping really good. Amen. That's the peace of God. So how do we get the peace? The Bible, there's a lot of scriptures about this. Psalms 34 and 14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about seeking peace, following after peace, pursue peace. Wherever there's peace, that's where I want to go. Whatever I can say that will bring peace, that's what I want to say. Amen. Whatever reaction I can have that will bring peace to the situation, amen, that's the reaction that I want to have. Seek and pursue it, the psalmist says in Psalm 34. Amen. Jesus gave the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount some instruction about peace. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. For they shall be called the children of God. We are called actually to make peace. Well, how in the world do we do that? Amen. Sometimes you got to push against some darkness, amen, to make peace in your life. Sometimes truth needs to be told and truth has to be stood for, amen. And you can bring peace to a situation that is out of control. 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, amen, and see good days, I think we can enjoy this life. Amen. I think it can be a good life. I don't want it to be so good, amen, that I get attached to it. Amen. But we can have a good life and we can see good days. Let him, if you want this, the Bible says, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So again, we have the same words, do good, seek peace, and ensue it. Anybody know what it means to ensue something? It literally means to run after it. Like sprint. With all you're getting, get peace. Whatever you got to do to have peace, go after it, the Bible tells us. So, I asked the next question. So we asked, how do we get peace? Well, we need to pursue it and seek it and ensue it. And so how do we then pursue and seek after peace? What does that look like? How do we seek peace? And the world does it in all sorts of ways. We have done it all sorts of ways. We've done it through materialism. Amen. We think that if we get that raise, that then those bills will be covered and then we will have peace. Amen. We think it's that next vacation sitting on the beach. Amen. That'll give us that peace and that rest that we're looking for. We think it's to avoid problems. If I just don't have any problems, then I'll have peace. If that problem right there will just go away, then I will have peace. So we avoid problems. We avoid conflict. We cover them up. There's things that aren't taken care of in our lives because we don't want to deal with them because we just want peace. And sometimes it's hard to deal with problems. Amen. Some of us used to drink them away. Amen. Some of us used to be addicted to drugs and forget about them on a binger. Amen. This church is full of people just like that. Amen. Some of us will just go buy something new. Amen. I don't know about you, but you know, it's fun to buy new things. You get a little dopamine rush when you buy that new whatever it is. Amen. And we cover up problems with dopamine rushes. Amen. And then we never truly have peace. We just go from one little leaf to the next, like a little frog. Amen. Anybody know what that's like? Amen. From this vacation to that event to this new thing to that, seeking peace, seeking a happiness, and never really truly finding it. That's the way of the world. But we read our opening scripture, Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And today I'm talking about the partner of peace. And I do not believe that it is by accident that righteousness is listed first in this verse. Amen. We all want peace. But how do we seek and pursue after peace? Church, I'm here to give you the key to peace, and it is righteousness. It is righteousness. I'm going to say it plainly today. You cannot have peace without righteousness first. Amen. I don't know, but I just said something very good. Just so you guys know. Okay? That was really good. Amen. Not because I made it up, but because the Bible says this is a principle of God. And today, if you are lacking peace in any way, I'm here. God wants to give you the key to peace. And it is righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, then peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Righteousness is the key to having peace. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first and his righteousness. And then all these other things that we worry about And we stay up at night worrying about, and we stress about, and we get upset about, and all these things that are on our mind all the time. How is this going to work out? How am I going to pay the bills? I got something going on in my body. I got doctor bills in my marriage and these relationships. How is it all going to work out? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Psalms 85 and 10. The psalmist says it really good here. He says, mercy and truth are met together. You know, mercy is interesting because it forgives what is wrong, but truth makes known what is right. So they're like these two, not opposing forces, but different forces that work together. Then it says right here, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You cannot have peace without righteousness. They work hand in hand. The partner of peace today is righteousness. We go back to a couple of those scriptures that we read. And it's apparent here, Psalms against Psalms 34 and 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The psalmist has literally given us instruction for righteousness. He's saying, just do what is right. Do good. Depart from evil. And then after you do that, seek peace. It doesn't say continue to sin, continue to do bad things, and seek peace. The Bible is very, very clear on this order in Scripture. We go back to 1 Peter 3 and 8. It says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. So there's instruction here about how to live life. Amen. Verse 10, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Peter's given them instruction, Brother Jones, on how to live righteously, how to do things right. And then he says, let him seek peace and ensue it. But what we like to do is we like to seek peace while we continue to do the wrong things. Amen. And it just leads to frustration because we never truly get what we need from God because we just haven't made things right. Hebrews 7 and 1 says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, this mysterious guy mentioned in Genesis, this mysterious priest, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. He says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation. Listen to this. Talking about Melchizedek. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Amen. By first interpretation, king of righteousness. And then he says, and after that, he was the king of peace. And we know, amen, Hebrews tells us, about that this, that in verse 3 says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. We understand that this was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Amen. That Jesus Christ, his priesthood, amen, he would be a king of righteousness and a king of peace. So we have this order all through Scripture. And the order of Melchizedek is first righteousness and then peace. And the truth of it is, church, is Jesus is the only one Amen. Who can make things right. Amen. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Amen. We can't get it right. We can't do right. We can't be right on our own. Amen. We're flawed. We're flesh. And our righteousness is just really nothing. God is the one who makes things right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, I'm going to read this in the ESV. It says, for everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of the glorious standard, the ESV says. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when we believe in Jesus. Amen. Aren't you thankful for a God, amen, who can make you right? Amen. That we can be right with him. That we can seek that righteousness that he has for us. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And really simply what it means to be justified, it means to be made right. That's why we justify ourselves all the time, Brother Jones, because we don't want to be wrong, right? That's why we say those things, because we don't want to be wrong. We make justifications for our things we say, things we do, because we don't want to be wrong. Amen? But God justifies us. Amen? He sticks up for us. Amen? And through his justification, amen, he's the one that makes us right. We can't do it on our own. No matter how good you are of justifying yourself and sticking up for yourself, and really we call it making excuses. Amen? God is the only one who can make us right. We came to him a sinner, guilty as charged. Amen. But through the blood of the Lamb, amen, he forgave us. Amen. And he forgave our sins. He can take someone who has never done right and make them right. Amen. You may feel like you've just never done anything right. Bad decision after bad decision. Amen. But God can take you. Amen. And he can make you right in his sight. You know, there's this thing that I often mention in Bible study. I call it the courtroom of God. And we sit in that chair as the defendant. Amen. And we're sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we sit there and we're being accused of these things. Anybody like to be accused of things? Amen. Even when they're true. So we sit there. We're accused of this sin. And across the courtroom, there's the plaintiff. Amen. The one who is accusing us of these sins. Amen. His name is the devil. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. Actually, it says that he accuses us nonstop, day and night, night and day. Amen. The accuser is saying, you're a sinner. Amen. You're never going to make it. You're not good enough. Amen. You can't get past that problem. Amen. Once a sinner, always a sinner. The devil just keeps saying that, keeps whispering. You'll never conquer that. Amen. You did it. You just 2 months ago, you messed up. What makes you think that you can live above that? That's what he does. He whispers nonstop, day and night. You'll never be good. You're just a sinner. You're just a nothing. So he sits across the courtroom as the plaintiff, shouting the accusations across the courtroom. Amen. You sit there as the defendant. And the truth of it is a lot of what he's saying is actually true. Because we are sinners. We did do the crime. We have fallen short. But then up on the platform there, on the throne, we're going to call it, is the judge. That's God. And he's listening to this. And he's a righteous judge. Amen. He discerns right from wrong. Amen. And the Bible says that no sin will have their place in heaven. Amen. So we sit there. We have a problem, Brother Jones. Because I'm the defendant. I'm a sinner. And the enemy's sitting over there making these accusations. And some of what he's saying is true. And God, amen, who discerns all things right, is the judge. So there's a problem. But there's an answer to the problem. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself, amen, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we're sitting in this courtroom, amen, and we have a lawyer, amen. He's a good lawyer. He's the best lawyer, amen. He's not one of these cheese bags on the billboards, all right? He doesn't even charge for his services, amen. Hope there's no lawyers in the house. But God, Jesus is the mediator. So he stands in the middle of all these accusations. 1 John 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we sit there guilty. And what are we supposed to say? I didn't do that. We deceive our own selves. It's not the truth. So it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And in chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have a mediator with the Father, amen, with the judge, amen, Jesus Christ, the righteous, amen, Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our mediator, and he's our advocate in the courtroom, amen. I'm so thankful, amen, because I would have been dead a long time ago. Amen. They should have locked me up a long time ago and thrown away the key. And I would have spent eternity in a fiery hell. Amen. But because Jesus stepped into that courtroom and he said, you want to know what? I'll be your lawyer. I'll be your advocate. Amen. I don't care what you've done. Amen. I'm going to be here for you. I'm not even going to charge you for my services. He says, he sticks up for us, and then he actually takes on the penalty of the crime that we have committed. And then he pays the debt that we owe for the crime that we committed. And then he erases all the wrong from our record, amen, that we actually did. So we walk out of that courtroom, amen, and the judge has already forgotten all the wrong that we did because Jesus, amen, Jesus's blood, amen, washed away all the sin from our record. And our sin, amen, was forgiven and he remembers it no more, amen. And we walk out of there a free man. This is the gospel message, church. Amen. We are not good enough, but God, amen, through Jesus Christ, amen, can make us right again. Oh, God. And not only does he save us in the courtroom, not only does he do what he did in that courtroom, but he offers to come with us. After the court hearing, he offers to walk with us. Amen. He's like, listen, I just got you out of a lot of trouble there. Amen. And you let me do it. You let me be your lawyer. But I don't want you just to go out and to continue in sin. Amen. Jesus said it, to go and sin no more. Amen. But the lawyer, Jesus, is like, hey, listen, I'm going to continue to be your advocate. I want to be your friend. I want to walk with you. Amen. You disobeyed some laws that got you into trouble and into this courtroom. Amen. But I want to walk with you. I want to show you, amen, how to obey those laws and how to do right and how to stay out of trouble. Amen. He's like, I won't leave you nor forsake you. I'll be inside of you. I'll help you with this. So he gives us this instruction to leave the courtroom. Amen. Nothing on our record anymore. And then he offers to come with us. Amen. To keep us out of the courtroom. And that's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how we're made righteous. That's how we do right. That's how we overcome sin. Amen. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ walking with us and living inside of us. That's the gospel message. That's the death, the burial, in the resurrection. I taught about it Wednesday night. Death, amen, is just turning to God, saying, I'm sorry for how I've been living. Amen. And it's not just being sorry because of the consequences, but it's being sorry enough to change. Amen. Sorry enough to be like, listen, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to talk that way anymore. I don't want to be a part of that way anymore. And I'm turning to God and I'm leaving that old life behind. That's the death. The burial, church, is baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. It's baptism in Jesus' name. And when you are baptized in the waters of baptism, God buries the old man once and for all. Amen. He's gone. He's put into the grave. Amen. There's nothing on our record anymore. This is how we live out the courtroom situation. This is how we activate it in our lives. We obey the gospel. We repent and we're baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I said this Wednesday night, but there is no, all through scripture, Brother Jones, there's no such thing as a unbaptized Christian. That seems harsh, but everywhere in scripture where the gospel was preached and they believed the gospel, they obeyed it and they were baptized that same day. Amen. That's why we don't have baptismal Sunday here. Amen. That's why the baptismal tank is warm and ready right now. Amen. The Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch walked, and Philip's like, what doth hinder you to be baptized? Or maybe the eunuch said that. I don't remember. But they got baptized right then and there. The eunuch had just heard the gospel for the very first time, and there was water, and he was baptized right then and there. Amen. We don't wait for family to show up for baptisms. Amen. We get baptized the same. The biblical method for baptism is immediately. Amen. Peter, we have the Jew, as you read through the book of Acts, amen, the Jews received the gospel in Acts 2. It says every single one of them were baptized in Jesus' name that same day. We go to Acts 8, Philip preached to the Samaritans. So there's a progression of the gospel being preached. First to the Jews, and then to the Samaritans in Acts 8. Philip preached, and they were all baptized that same day. You go to Acts 10, and Peter has this vision. He ends up in Cornelius' house, preaching to the Gentiles and to his whole house. He's literally preaching the gospel. Amen. And while he's preaching, they receive the Holy Ghost. How did they know they received the Holy Ghost? They spoke with tongues. Amen. And I love this scripture. Peter, I love Peter. He commanded them to be baptized. He's like, listen, I ain't leaving till you're baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And what did it say? Cornelius and all his house were baptized that same day. Amen. So today, I'm just going to throw this out. If you are not baptized in Jesus' name, I declare unto you, it is the absolute will of God for you not to wait another day. That is the gospel message. You don't have to carry that old self around anymore. Amen. We're not going to pause the courtroom hearing and say, listen, I don't want you to do this right now. Jesus, I don't want you to be my mediator right now. I don't want you to stick up for me right now. Judge, I don't want you to clear my record right now. I gotta wait till I'm somewhere else. I gotta wait till my family shows up. No, I want to be free today. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is a good day to have all your sins washed away. Amen. That old man buried in Jesus' name, it will change your life. Amen. But we have the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. Jesus didn't stay in that grave. He didn't stay in that tomb, but he rose again the third day. And that is the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Living inside of us, giving us the power to be right with him and stay right with him. Amen. When we do this, when we seek righteousness, there will be victory. Amen. And what happens after a victory? Peace. Peace. It works, church. It worked for me. It worked for my family. Amen. I want to mention one more thing. One more thing. You know, sometimes, you know, we can leave that courtroom and we're forgiven. The record's clear. Amen. But there were some things that we did, Brother Jones, that hurt other people. Amen. People don't forget. Right? I think for the most part, people are pretty graceful. For the most part, people forgive. I just assume that people forgive. It's just way easier to go on in life, assuming, amen, that they're sorry. Right? But the truth of it is some of the decisions we've made have hurt other people. We've all done it. We've all hurt other people. And you walk out of that courtroom and you're right with God, but you feel like you're not right with other people. And there's a proper order. We can forgive each other. There's reconciliation. Amen. If we're at odds with each other, we can work this all out. But there also is just a supernatural thing that God does. Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 7, he says, when a man's ways please the Lord, when you do what's right, when you just do what's right, he says, he maketh even the enemies to be at peace with you. I'm here to tell somebody, you may have hurt some other people, but God has forgiven you. Amen. And if you will just do right, God will work it all out. And you can live at peace even with your enemies. And this is a big hang up for a lot of people. We can live at peace. And sometimes he'll even prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Amen. And what a peace that comes. Amen. When we can actually be at peace with our enemies. But sometimes we try to do this ourselves. But God's saying, if you will just do what pleases me. You know, Brother Jones, you were talking about Gideon. I love that story. And talking about how God was preparing them to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And they had found themselves in a really bad situation. And they were having this famine 7 years. The Midianites would just come. And the Bible, though, King James uses the word impoverished. They were just stripped of everything. And Gideon asked God, you know, why? Why would you allow this to happen? Like, are you actually with us? And, you know, God told him, he's like, listen, I brought you out of Egypt. God reminded him of what he did. But he says, you guys, at the end of that first clause in chapter 6, he says, you guys don't obey me. And there's a word that we don't love. It's called obedience. This is really what I'm talking about today, just doing what's right. Can I say that doing what's right is not always easy? Sometimes it goes against everything in us. Every emotion and mentality, it certainly goes against our flesh. It's not easy to do what's right. But they found themselves in that situation in Judges chapter 6 because they just didn't do what's right. You know, so God prepares a man, Gideon, that was going to lead them out from this attack of the Midianites. And it's interesting, you know, we always talk about how Gideon, you know, he doubted and he fleeced God. That's where we get the word fleece from. He fleeced God with the fleece, with the dew, he asked for these signs to know. He needed this assurance from God. And so we read this story. But there was something very important that happened between the calling and the actual victory. God told Gideon, he said, you need to tear down the altar of Baal and the Asherah poles. He said, you need to make things right. Because the children of Israel were worshiping Baal and Asherah instead of him. That's why they were impoverished. So Gideon did that. Amen. He was still a little, you know, scared about it. He said he did it at night because he was scared of his own family. And thank God his dad, Joash, and Brother Jones called him Joshua today, but it's Joash. Sorry, we knew what he meant, right? Joash stuck up for him. He's like, why don't you let Baal just stick up for himself, he said. But there's some things, and of course, we have the great victory. They overtook the Midianites. You know, they had 32,000 men starting out, and God dwindled it down to 300. Amen. They didn't even have to fight. Amen. God just did it. They ran away all confused, and God gave them a great victory that day. But you know what it came through? And of course, I bet there was some peace. Amen. There was some peace after that victory. But it came through Gideon doing some things that were right. Let's all stand today. Mighty God, Jesus, I believe that God wants to give you the victory. My wife didn't know what I was preaching today, but every song was pretty much about victory, God fighting for us, pushing back. We get excited. God's going to do it. God's able to do it. God speaks it. We have the prophetic. Amen. I love the prophetic. I want the church to know that I believe in the prophetic. I believe in the words that have been spoken. Amen. I believe in the words that have been spoken over this church of the promises. I believe some of the promises that I've heard that God has spoken to you individually. I believe those. Amen. But the prophetic, amen, is I don't want to demean it at all, but it's really just divine intention. It's what God desires to do. It's what's in the mind of God. It's what he plans to do. It's what he wants to do. It's what he can do. And he will do. But it's the job of the church, amen, to put feet and to put legs underneath the prophetic. What does that mean? That we walk righteously. That we go and we do what the Lord wants us to do. Because we have a promise. Amen. We have a prophetic word from God. Amen. To reach this community. I believe there's great things ahead. Amen. But if we don't witness, if we don't preach this gospel, how shall they hear? How can God do anything with his gospel? The gospel will change lives. The death, burial, and the resurrection. Amen. This gospel message will change lives. But it has to be preached. How shall they hear without a preacher? How is your promise going to come to pass? If we just sit down on the promise, if we don't put any legs to it, any feet to it, any action to it. And I believe wholeheartedly that God, amen, is calling this church collectively. I wish I could tell you a story right now, but I can't. My wife and I had something happen to us yesterday that blew our minds. Blew our minds, Brother Slate. Lady called us from, she doesn't know us from Adam. Called us, thus saith the Lord. I've been praying for your church and your names for a year. Read the mail. Called out circumstances in the church. Confirmed some things that have been said repeatedly the last few months. This church is destined. There's families here that are destined. I mean, there's some people here that are called and destined. We have the seed. We have the promise. But will we put feet to the promise? Will we go? Will we step out and trust that God's going to back us? There's a miracle in this place today. Amen. Mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Hatoya sana la la masiata. Oh, hallelujah. God, we trust in you today. God, we worship you today. God, we want what you have for us, oh God. Hatoya sana la 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 masiata. We seek peace. God, by living right, by doing what your word says, God, by following after you, the leading of the Holy Ghost, God, we seek you. You're our reward today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Can we just lift our hands all across this place. Amen. I wonder if you could just lift your voice in prayer. Hatayasa noro sotoriasa. Isataya la 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 masi andoro sotorias. Oh God, we want to do what you want us to do. God, we want to go. God, we want to please you. God, we seek you today. We seek your face. We seek your righteousness. Ataya sanda la 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 bosia. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way here today. God, you're an awesome God. There's a miracle here today, church. Amen. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need something divine to happen in your life, I welcome you to the front. Please come and pray. Give yourselves to God. Seek righteousness today. Seek righteousness. God, I want to do what's right. In the face of adversity, God, I want to do what's right. Oh, come and pray, church. Come and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isatoria la 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 basi otoro.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Back to where we started. I open up. Fall on my knees.